You may stand or you may be seated as we read the gospel for this morning. It's taken from the 21st chapter of Luke, beginning with the first verse. He looked up and saw rich people putting their gifts into the treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. He said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in all she had to live on." When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'The time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." And then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues. And there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify, to make up your minds, not to prepare your defense in advance. For I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." Here ends the lesson for today.
Amen. Our text this morning actually begins with verse 5, but I'm glad Sue read from the beginning because it goes well with another example about all in, as Isabella shared her testimony about what it means to be all in as a youth. Here's this old widow all in. Let's pause for a moment in prayer. Gracious God, as always, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be pleasing and acceptable to you. Not only in this hour of worship, but in all that we do and say in the world. For we ask it in your Son's name, who is our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. My two sisters and their husbands are traveling in Asia right now, visiting South Korea and Japan and Taiwan and other places in Asia. They are all retired now, and so they are enjoying this time of freedom and traveling. And as you know, thanks to our smartphones and the technologies and social media apps, they can instantly send the pictures of the beautiful scenes, you know, the magnificent buildings, the historical places, huge cathedral-like churches and temples, with the rest of the family here in the U.S., you know, sometimes waking us up in the middle of the night with their message and photos, saying with the texting, OMG, you know what that is, right? Oh my goodness, isn't this beautiful? You need to come and see this, John, and the rest of you. And I would respond, "It's almost midnight here in Thousand Oaks, and I have to preach next day, so Thank you, but can't. But I do admit, the photos are just spectacular and beautiful. Well, 2,000 years ago, the disciples and others were walking by the temple with Jesus, admiring its massive beauty. They were marveling at the enormous stones of its walls in the temple. Now, allow me to put this in the context. As you know, Jesus is at the end of his ministry, and he had just spent his last week teaching daily in the temple. You know, that temple, that magnificent building that rose from the pinnacle of Jerusalem. They were mesmerized by the beauty of the buildings, by its size, by its beauty, its scope, its lavishness, by its opulence, by its... I need a thesaurus by now, you know, my vocabulary range is limited, but you get the picture, right? It was just simply the most astounding, largest building any Jewish worshipers ever saw at the time. And so I imagine some of those gathered around Jesus in the temple on that day, pulling out their smartphones, you know, taking pictures. Over here, you have to look at this. Look at all the stones. And they are taking selfies and updating their Facebook pages, tweeting and texting simply, OMG, oh my God. Or whatever the equivalent of the first century, you know, Hebrew or Aramaic would have been. And of course, the one who was born as man and God was standing right there next to him. But it is so easy to get carried away by beautiful building and overlook a visitation from God, the Son of God. Okay, I'm making up that part about smartphones and texting at that time. We all know that technologies did not exist back then. But the people around Jesus was smack in the middle of the most spectacular architecture that had ever existed in Judaism. And their jaws were just, you know, hitting the floor. And I think that's why what Jesus said next must have hit them like a slap in the face. As for these things you see, Jesus says, the days will come when not one stone will be left on top of another. All will be thrown down, not one stone on top of another. You talk about pulling the plug on the Facebook posting. What Jesus said about the dismantling of the temple must have been very shocking. Because you see, this wasn't just any worship space. This was the worship space, which represented the history of Jerusalem. In the Old Testament, there was a divine promise to restore Jerusalem, to create it as a joy, a place where the sound of weeping or the cry of distress would not be heard anymore. The Lord had promised to restore Jerusalem, and he did. And here was Jesus saying the stones were going to tumble down again. Again, what Jesus said was not only shocking, it was bitter for these people of Israel, because they had been through this many times before. Destroyed during the days of Babylonian Empire and in exile. Thanks to Nehemiah and Ezra, they rebuilt when they returned. And then it was destroyed again during the Seleucid Empire, but then again reconsecrated by the Maccabean sons. And then enormously expanded by the Herod the Great, over a 46-year period. It was a beautiful, imposing structure with a lot of history, and they don't want to see it destroyed into ashes again. And even the Roman Empire ruled the people of Israel, they at least allowed the people of Israel to worship in the temple. And yes, that ruthless king, King Herod, with his power and money, maintained the beauty and the massive appearance of the building. As you know, King Herod loved architecture. He loved to build buildings and places for himself. And so the temple was at the time known as Herod's Temple. But it didn't matter for the people because still, it was a symbol for them. It was a symbol for Jerusalem. It gave them hope and the identity. It was the jewel and the crown. And so Jesus' words in the temple would have come as a shock to the system when he said, hey, take a look. You are impressed by this architecture, aren't you? But one day it is all coming down, every last stone, from there to here. I have to pause here for a moment, because if God can speak a comforting word to the comfortless, then it appears he can also speak an uncomforting word to the too comfortable. You know what Jesus is doing here? He was not just talking about the dismantling of the building. He was talking about the system, talking about the dismantling of the power and the prestige and livelihood of the powerful associated with the temple and the system. You know, the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, the Sadducees, and those wealthy people coming to dedicate their gifts. Wondering, gifts to who? So Jesus had spent the last week of his life teaching in the temple about the things people didn't want to hear. So all those leaders had challenged him and tried to embarrass him and attempted to undercut his authority. In the meantime, Jesus is trying to still show how wrong we all are. As he says, beware of the scribes and the one who likes to go around in long robes, love greeting in the marketplaces, looking for best seats in the synagogues and in the feasts. Imagine that shepherds more interested in themselves than in the good of the sheep. Imagine that a nation's leaders more interested in themselves and their political future than in the welfare of the people. You know, some things don't change, right? You know, God would be much simpler to deal with if God only had one message. That if God could say only one kind of thing. If every word that proceeded from the mouth of God had that warm and fuzzy and blessed assurance type of words. But every divine word is not a gentle pat on the back always. Sure, when this God speaks through Jesus, he says things like, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Very nice. We all like those. But Jesus also says, woe to you who are laughing now. Blessed are you when people hate, exclude, and revile you, defame you on account of me. So much for becoming a Christian, right? To win a popularity contest. My guess is that you are all here, and I am too, because of our deep needs and commitment to follow Christ and to encounter God somehow. But there are also other reasons as well, I'm sure. If you came this morning only to be comfortable, if you came this morning simply for fellowship and good worship, or because you simply only wanted to hear nice things, or because you merely and only enjoyed this beautiful sanctuary, I mean, they are all good reasons. But you didn't come expecting to be addressed by God, this living God of righteousness. And be careful. Our worship building is beautiful, but more beautiful is the one who is to be heard. Awesome is the worship building, some more awesome than others, but more awesome is the one who is to be heard. We love our worship buildings, but more loved should be the one who is to be heard and obeyed and worshiped. And this is all a good reminder for all churchgoers, whether here or in the simple, you know, wood frame church buildings, or sometimes even in Africa, just a little hut, huge tent, or in huge cathedrals. We need to remind ourselves how God comes to us. So instead of busy texting out OMG to one another, oh my God, perhaps we need to see the text from God saying to us, OMP. You know what that is, right? Oh my people. Have you received that from God in your text? Oh my people, are you hearing me? You know, Jesus is remembered, according to Mark and John, for saying this, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days, I will build another made without hands. And of course, religious leaders thought that was just a blasphemy, and so they pushed even harder to put Jesus, to get him killed. But we know what Jesus meant, right? Christians are those who believe that we have already seen the end. We believe in resurrection. We just sang that song. We know what the end. We are the resurrection people. We know Jesus is the true temple. And to commit ourselves to this kind of God takes a lot of courage and faith. Of course, people at the time when Jesus said, you know, the days are coming when all these things will come to a end. And people, of course, were curious and asked him for some signs. And Jesus said about how nation will rise against nation in earthquakes and the plagues. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He warns them about how they will get arrested, persecuted, how they will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives. And some of them will be even put to death. Now for us, hearing this 2,000 years later, we hear it as hyperbole, as that extreme analogy. It doesn't apply us literally. But for them, it wasn't. They were literally brought to kings and governors to be tried and put to death. But here's what Jesus says to them. Jesus says, you will then have to testify. But notice what Jesus says and what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, don't worry, it'll come to you or you'll be just fine. No, he doesn't say any of that. He simply says, I will give you words. Christ promises to speak the word, which is what we have. We depend on his word. The word that created all things in the beginning and continues to create in its speaking. Christ simply promises us, nothing but you will have my words, my wisdom. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. My goodness. A while ago, I believe it was Saturday morning, I went to LA Fitness in Agoura Hills to work out. You know, they have a new LA Fitness open about a year ago, I think, in Agoura Hills. And I try to go there two or three times a week just to kind of work out, you know, same routine, a little bit of cardio and a little bit of lifting. But I was getting really bored with that same routine, you know. But that morning, I noticed a separate fitness room where a group of young people, mostly, you know, people who have, nice workout clothes on and having fun, working out to a loud music, sweating and making groaning and grunting sound. And I thought, you know, that looks really fun. And a young lady, a fitness trainer standing by the door, asked me, "Are you interested in signing up for HIIT, H-I-I-T? And I asked her, what is that, you know? And she says, it's called High Intensity Interval Training, a new training technique in which you give all out. You know, doing this incredible amount of sit-ups, lifting, squats, push-ups, burst running and tricep dips and burpees. And I had to ask her, what is burpees, you know, but, and all this until you are too exhausted to continue, or you just drop dead in some cases, right? And I thought to myself, well, this old body that's going to be hitting 60 soon or later, will this old body take this kind of abuse and torture, you know? And so I just kind of stared at these young people having fun, doing this crazy stuff, you know, getting jealous, you know, because some guys, you know, they look like Pastor Steve, you know, very athletic, you know, all fit, you know? And I said to myself, okay, what can I do that one of these days? And I said to myself, this could kill me also, you know? And this young lady, this trainer said to me, "So, are you in?" Jesus said to the crowd who were just staring and marveling at the beauty and the enormity of the temple, "Are you in?" Yes, the buildings look great, but they are not the answer. They are not your hope. No matter how beautiful, how spectacular, Jesus saying, "I could tear it down and rebuild it in 3 days, but this stuff called faith, sure, it could kill you, but it will save you. It'll save you. So are you in? Because if you do, I will give you words and wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. And by your endurance, you will gain your souls. Are you in?" Amen.